Hey everybody, Eric Switch here for another TG Roundtable. Today I'm joined by two wonderful editors from The Gamer, Ben Sledge.
Hello.
And Jade King.
Hello.
Today we're diving deep into the Hades 2 technical alpha. Is that what we're calling it?
They're calling it a test.
Yeah.
But it seems like a relatively decent chunk of like the first world. Well, the whole thing. And then a lot of the hub world.
And this was public or invite only
you had to
kind of thing.
Invite we got sent codes so I think it was I think
oh, I got in
codes
I got in the regular way I
oh okay I got sent a code
got an email I'm one of the norms
no oh, you're a normie okay that's okay
I but yes. I have some reservations about dipping back into the Hades well obviously like Hades is incredible everyone agrees it was it game of the year
for a lot of people, I think, in 2020. It didn't win at the Game Awards, I think the last time.
Oh, it didn't win the Game Awards, yeah. But one of the things that makes Supergiant so cool is that every game is so different than the one before, and they're always pushing the envelope. And that, I mean, Hades is so popular because of what it's contributed to roguelikes, you know? But now we're back for another round, because you can't beat that kind of success, I guess, right? Does it feel like they're chasing success with this one, or is it new in the way that Supergiant makes new things?
No, it's not Supergiant new.
Yeah,
but it's enough of an iteration on Hades that it doesn't feel like a cash grab.
Okay,
mechanically it's a lot deeper. There's new characters, new portraits for old characters. There's a lot of new stuff there, and yet it still feels like, you know, the game we all got obsessed with years ago. But yeah, it's not Supergiant new. It's not Transistor.
Mm. Okay, well, let's set the stage a little bit. Like, are we still Zagreus? What are we doing? What's it about?
So this takes place, I'm going to say, maybe like a couple of decades after the first game.
Okay.
Like, Zagreus is made up with Persephone, his birth mother, and Zeus.
Spoilers.
And, oh yeah, spoilers, obviously, for the first Hades. But Zagreus has made up with his birth mother, Persephone, and patched things up with Hades. And it seems after the true ending of Hades 1, Persephone and Hades ended up having a kid, which is Princess Melenoe, not Melano, Melenoe, who is the main character of this game. And you join her quite immediately. It very much throws you in. And you learn more about the narrative as you go. But it seems the general gist of things is Kronos, the Titan of Time, has taken over the underworld, taken over Olympus, kidnapped your dad, kidnapped Zagreus. And it's your mission to get them back and save, would it be the world or like multiple worlds in that point? It feels like instead of where the original was all about Zagreus just telling his dad to get fucked, this one seems to have higher stakes from the outset, and you can feel that in a lot of the dialogue and character dynamics. Like, you're not just trying to spite someone, you're fighting for something. And I think that goes a long way in justifying this as a sequel when it could have been, as you said, just Hades again.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I mean, I guess I would have expected it to be a more of a personal story about Zagreus and his daughter, right? But it sounds like it's a pretty...
Oh, Zagreus' sister. Sorry.
Sister, sorry.
That'd be weird, yeah.
It's definitely a wartime game. That's very noticeable, because I think the lore is, as Jade said, the Titans invaded when Melanoe was, just after she was born. So she looks, you know, 20s, 30s, I would say, now. And now she wants revenge on Kronos. But, like... you know, from the hub area is like a kind of battle encampment with tents, and they're set up to they're on the move, on the march. It feels like all the gods, their portraits are more what's the word,
they're like
war-like.
Weathered,
you know,
I think
both feet on the floor, their weapons are drawn, some of them are wearing war paint, things like this. It's a lot more I guess about a wider, bigger story than the personal one of the first game. But at the heart, you know, Melanoe is, she is, you know, looking for her brother and her parents who are in the thrall of Kronos.
Right.
So I assume they're coming as boss battles against Zagreus, Hades, Persephone, under the control of Kronos. That's what I would guess. I see.
Yeah, because I will say in this technical test, which it feels like a diet early access build. I've played about 3.5 hours and there's still quite a bit of like dialogue and content I need to get through. But I do think it is like it's Melinaway's personal story about getting her family back. But it's framed in that wider context of this bigger conflict. Like after each run, you'll come back and speak to characters. And there was one instance where two characters were going at each other, like, oh, you should let me go out and fight. But like, no, that's Melinaway's responsibility. And there's like these interesting dynamics of like bitterness and character development throughout the cast in the camp. Whereas last time it often felt like you talked to them individually and you wouldn't see those interactions between them. It feels like they're trying to flesh out that system like a lot more.
Well, I guess if there's anything that you can trust from Supergiant here, it's that the writing, the characters, like that kind of stuff is going to be really solid. Personally, the moment-to-moment gameplay of Hades didn't click with me as much as a lot of other roguelikes, action roguelikes do. How is it different here than from the first game?
It's very similar, I would say. Your kind of moment-to-moment levels are similar. Your kind of attacks, light and heavy attacks, I think they've got special names. They're similar. You've got different weapons, but then instead of the blood crystal thing,
the red things you fire at people, those things.
Instead of that, you've got like an area of effect attack that,
like an MP bar that lets you like do casting.
Yeah,
the AOE thing
stuns enemies and like keeps them in that area so you can bottleneck them. And then like Jade said, there's a mana bar so you can charge up any of those three attacks, and it's a buffed version, but that, like, your health doesn't regenerate much naturally, so you've got to be careful with it.
You can't cheese it. I tried that, and then unless you have like a specific boon which recharges it, which feels a bit OP in this build, but oftentimes you'll need to constantly be moving around, constantly be using basic attacks, and also take into account what boons you've got and so on. I found myself paying a bit more attention to that in this than I did in Hades 1, where I could kind of depend on my weapons, but obviously it's early access and I think a lot of that stuff is going to flesh out as we go.
And then a lot of the kind of roguelike aspects, they have they've brought in new upgrades between runs.
Yes.
So instead of the mirror, you've got a tarot card system, and you've got a cauldron, because you are in witch school, and Hecate is the headmistress, who's really cool, and I think is voiced by Amelia Tyler.
Yeah, it is. I talked to her about this.
Oh, did you? No, I thought it was, but I couldn't be sure. So you've got a witch's cauldron where you brew up buffs, kind of like the house contractor, I think, from the first game. So you can unlock them, the magic pools that refill your health bar midway through a run, that sort of thing. It's a lot of these, they're nice, but they do feel like reskins of things you had in the first game, rather than anything more in depth or iterative. Whereas on the other hand, the mana bar, I think, does change how you fight.
There's a few, I don't know how far you got, Ben, but I unlocked like this thing with the Siblings of Fate, I think they're calling them in this.
Yeah.
Where it's kind of like a list of challenges that you do throughout each run. And when you do them, you might get rewarded with something, or characters might give you tasks to do, from what I can tell, which I don't know how much depth that goes into in this build, but it got to a point where I met someone and I was able to select a certain thing where that character would then appear in my next run. It wouldn't be left up to chance. So like someone like Artemis could appear who, like, the Arrow person, who plays, like, a bit of a different role now, similar to what Thanatos played in the first game, where they'd kind of appear and help you out. And you've got another special attack from, I think it's Saloon, the moon lady on the horse. Like, she'll come on and give you, like, what is essentially a special that you can only use once with loads of mana, and then it vanishes or needs to recharge. And I'm trying to think of the other hub-world stuff. You can go fishing and, like, plant stuff and all that, but it does just feel like small iterative changes. It's still that familiar thing of coming back to this place, seeing what's changed, talking to people, and then making sure you're ready to go on that next run.
Are you both happy to have a Hades sequel?
I wasn't initially, but when I saw what they were doing with, like, the narrative and characters here, and the time jump they went, which is like 20, 30 years or whatever, and seeing what they can do with this pantheon and those characters in a different way, I'm curious. Because I think at first I was like, oh, Supergiant doing a sequel, that's like something they've never done before. So it's, they need to prove themselves with this as much as they would making a completely new game, like Hades the first time.
Yeah, I mean, more Hades is never a bad thing in my book, but you've got to weigh that up against the cost of whatever new thing Supergiant would have created in its stead.
Because I bet they had that conversation. Like, because yeah, I feel like this was announced a good while after.
It's impossible to tell whether it's the best option or not, because we'll never play that game that Supergiant never made.
Yeah,
I'm enjoying it. I hope they don't make a third one.
No, I feel like, as I mentioned from the off, like, I feel they've heightened the stakes at this point so they can tell a complete story and close this off. Because if this is going to build to literally fighting the Titans, which is like God of War did that in its Greek trilogy, that was the big thing, like fighting the Titans, fighting the gods and so on. Yeah, I could see it would depend how early access goes as well, I think, because I feel with Hades initially, each update felt like, oh, it's building to this special hole, but we already know what that hole is in this instance. So they kind of need to do that all over again, but do it better, which is a lot of pressure for a game as beloved as Hades was.
Is there new weapons and stuff, that anything specific that you liked?
I liked the Sister Blades, which is, I think they were in the first trailer. It's like a sickle and a dagger, which allows for like fast sweeping attacks. And it's very good at getting around the back of people. And then the only other weapon available in this build was, I don't know what it's called, but it's just a staff, and it's very long range and good for that stuff. And it felt OP to me, because when I got a boon that allowed me to recharge my MP, I just kept a distance and killed Hecate without getting touched. And it felt very naughty. But from what I can tell, all of the weapons are new, and they're themed around this new main character as well.
Yeah, the staff is called Descura.
Okay.
I wrote that down for some reason.
Oh, you can like, prepare.
I think I feel the same as Jade. I prefer using the knives, but I felt a lot stronger with the staff.
Yeah, it's like it with Zagreus. I always use the sword because it just felt right.
Oh no, shield was the way to go.
I've never really used a shield. I always use the bow or the sword. Okay, I'm replaying it at the moment, so I can do that.
But yeah, the weapons have that feeling of, you know, trying to find broken builds, getting the right boons to buff the right attacks. That's what is so good about Hades, and I'm so glad they're new weapons, because it wouldn't have made sense to use the old ones from a lore perspective, and it would have been boring to play the game. With the same things again. The boons have also changed slightly, so the gods do slightly different things.
There's a few new gods, I think.
There are new gods as well, yeah.
The fire one, I can't remember their name. They don't have a portrait yet.
Yeah, fire is Hestia. She hasn't got a portrait.
Neither does Charon, which was interesting, because their old character model is there, like the devil shopkeeper, but they're clearly redesigning them, but that's not there yet. There's a lot of elements in this that I'm curious to see what they do in terms of like character and mechanics.
Yeah, even Skelly has a new character model and portrait, and he's wearing a beard, and
he's royal.
I don't know if he's pretending to be someone else, but he's called like
I don't know if it's a different character or not, or they've just gotten older. Like, it's really hard to tell.
It's a very, he's a skeleton, so it's a very stuck on beard. But like,
it's like his cosplay.
I think it's an intentional joke, but I don't know if we're getting some deep skelly lore.
Oh, I hope so. Because that, I know you said like you love the mechanics, but something I live for in Hades, because I'm not very good at these kind of games. I will use the God mode because I love seeing the dialogue and the narrative. But one thing I really loved about this game so far was speaking to gods who are in the previous game. And you can glean even just from lines of dialogue or the way like Milinoe will react to them. It's like, oh, a lot has gone down. Like you speak to Charon, the shopkeeper, and he's like, there's a few lines where he's clearly mourning over the fact that, oh, who's the fast god, the runny one? Helios.
Oh, Helios.
He's like, oh, I'll get him back, don't worry. Like, I think it implies that maybe the Titans have done more bad shit than we know, but that the only way for us to uncover that is to, like, speak to people and go our own way. I do kind of love how it's not explaining everything. Kind of like the first Hades did. You kind of had to piece together the motivations of different characters.
This test, you're only getting, what, like, up to the first boss?
Yeah, you beat the first boss and then it kind of throws you back and then it goes, beat it 5 times and then they'll close you out, I think, because much like the first Hades, when you beat Meg for the first time, you'll go back to the hub and she'll be like, oh, you beat me, now what you're going to do? And all of the other characters will reflect on that kind of stuff.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so you can beat the first biome 5 times and it's Erebus. There's some lore reason why we're in Erebus. We're trying to get to the underworld to fight the Titan, but we can't go the normal route from Hades for unknown reasons, I think.
Yeah, because that's locked off. There's like a staircase that goes up, so we're in the middle, which is cool.
Mm. Is there any chance that after this like first biome that there is some like big twist to the mechanics, there's some like big giant change, or do you think it's gonna be pure Hades
I don't know. It's definitely possible, because I think we've talked about like Zagreus and those kind of characters coming up as boss battles, or maybe Zagreus and Hades, once you've saved them, they'll just offer boons and weapons like the other gods do. Like, it's really hard to tell, but I don't see this drastically divulging from what we know Hades to be. It's more of like evolving it. No, not evolving, like iterating upon it.
Mm. Yeah, I agree. I can't see it drastically changing. It'll, you know, as the first game did, as you progress further through it, it will iterate on the same mechanics more. It's very much like a continuation, I would say, of Hades, and I can't see it.
And everyone is really sexy.
Yeah, we can stop beating around the bush. Let's talk about how horny the characters are.
Yeah, just as horny.
Oh, baby. Like, I think so, yeah. Because, Ben, you wrote a great piece about like how it addresses some of those body diversity issues that the first game had, where everyone was kind of like buff Adonises or like sexy and slim. Even in the existing designs, it feels like they've taken a look at that and tried to address it. And you've also got some new characters who are also like Hephaestus or Nemesis. Like, they're differently built. They're not going for this like stereotypical. Is
Hephaestus
attraction.
The big boy?
Yeah, the big boy.
Yeah, I keep seeing Hephaestus everywhere. People love the big boy.
His smolder is astonishing.
Like, he gives you good abilities.
Take your breath away.
It's like, whenever you bump into him, like, hello, sir.
I don't even know what his boons do, because I forget everything when I see him.
Just flustered. Like, oh, this does too much damage, I think. It's like, oh my god.
And he's also in a wheelchair.
Yes, which is, you know, canon for Greek mythology.
I think he's got like, okay, he's made one of his own limbs as well. I can't tell.
Yeah, he's got a prosthetic.
Prosthetic leg.
I feel like that could be a little bit more pronounced in the art, because I wasn't sure where the wheelchair ended and leg began. But yeah, in Greek mythology, he was known as Hephaestus the Lame, which obviously they're not going to use that in 2024. But like, he got thrown out of Olympus. Different reasons depending on different sources. But fucked his leg up, basically.
Oh my god, now you're just making me think of like existing characters that I'm excited to meet in the full game. Oh yeah, I'm ready.
Yeah, who else? Because Hephaestus is the one I've seen posted everywhere, but who else do we got?
I have screenshots.
Apollo wasn't in the first game, I don't think. It's been so long since I played it, but I don't remember Apollo.
Yeah, I don't remember Apollo either.
And was Selene in the first game? Selene Saloon? The moon?
She was not. I know. She's I'm just clicking with my screenshots. You've got Aphrodite's back, Artemis is back, Hestia's new, Dora's new, like this little ghost who talks to you.
Dora's the new Dusa, really.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like they're just a ghost who loves to try and scare you, but they're really bad at it, which is quite like a cute character that's quirk. Cute.
Yeah.
Nemesis, Odysseus, Hecate. Oh, they're all just so dreamy. I'm looking through my screenshots now.
I do think a lot of less so the gods, but the hub area characters are they have their counterparts from the first game. They're like, right, we need a new Dusa.
So yeah.
We need a new Meg, so we've got Nemesis.
Odysseus is Achilles, probably.
Yeah.
You've even got a pet. You've got a little frog who waits for you when you spawn. That's Cerberus. There's two pets in the corner of the hub world, but they're not animated yet. They're kind of just statues. I don't know if that's meant to be that way, but you it's hard to tell.
I think I fed a treat to the polecat.
Okay. Because
the polecat is a reference to Hecate's mythos. There's a whole story about the birth of Heracles. And someone gets turned into a polecat, basically. And Hecate takes pity on them.
Oh, there's also Arachne, who's like a spider. You bump into her during runs and she... Essentially, what would she be the equivalent to in the original?
She's like
the singer, maybe.
Thingy with his boulder.
Oh, yes. Sisyphus. She makes you basically outfits out of her silk, which have different buffs, which is really cute. It changes how you look, and they're temporary. But when you come across those in a run, it can be a run saver because it can give you like 40 more health.
Mm. I love Hecate's look.
Hecate's really cool.
And the claw gloves and the abs, all of it. It's working for me.
Oh, I like Hypnos' new look. I might like that one the most, the sleepy boy.
Yeah, although it's kind of, I feel like there's something a little bit disturbing about how sleepy he is. We're going to uncover something there.
Is that a lore? I know he's called Sleep Incarnate, but I know he yawned a lot in the first game. I don't know my mythology that much.
No, I don't know his stuff. So I'm intrigued as to whether he's been put under a spell, but it's, you know, this is the lore reasons we play the game. I'm assuming as we progress further, we'll find out.
Because he was asleep during Melano's flashbacks, so I'm like, he's been asleep for a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
What's the thing about kissable frogs?
Oh, that's the frog I mentioned earlier, who's at like the start. If you press, I think it's R1 or L1 next to them, you like give them a little kiss and you say hello, and you can. One of the things you can do now, which is it's very reflective of the main character's personality, when you go up to certain characters, you can salute or honor them by pressing one of the shoulder buttons, which gives you like a unique voice line. And what my favorite one is when you go up to a portrait of your family, it's like press R1 to brood, which is kind of wonderful. It's like pay F to pay respects all over again.
Are they all voiced already?
Oh, yeah. Yes. All of the ones I've bumped into anyway. Been, yeah.
Okay, cool.
It's surprisingly fully featured. Like, judging from the language we got in the emails, it's like early access is coming pretty soon, like in a matter of weeks, I think.
Okay. And the main character, what is it? What's her name?
Melanoe?
Is she just girl Zagreus, or do you feel like...
No, she seems notably different. I think she's got a very different personality.
Really?
Personality-wise, yeah, but mechanically, she's not.
Oh, yeah, mechanically, it's more like, yeah, I agree.
What are the differences in their personalities, Jade?
I think Melanoe has been raised in this environment where it's like they're fighting for something and trying to get their family back, so they're more respectful of like the situation they're in or the people that are around them. Like, But whereas with Zagreus, like when you started the original Hades, he was very much like a rebel who was sick of the life he was in and often perhaps didn't understand like the family around him still cared about him regardless of where he wanted to be. And the way he talked, the way he interacted with the environment feels like almost dichotomous of how like Melanoe reacts to a lot of things. And I find that quite interesting. Like this is clearly a character who was raised like not in a traditional family environment and was like, has probably had to do some hard things in the past already. And I think that's reflected in how she acts, even though she's can sometimes be kind-hearted to a fault and maybe she needs to be tougher. Because you see that with when you talk to Nemesis in the hub world, they're like, oh, you're not strong enough or tough enough to fight these battles. I should be doing it. And then it's like, well, that's not your job. Like, I am royalty or like god royalty or whatever, so it's my job to do this. I think that's one of the most interesting things about them as a protagonist, because mechanically, it's building on what we already know.
She also has a very interesting relationship with the gods. Like,
she does.
Some of them are like, she's like, hey, bestie. Like, they've known each other for years. Like, Artemis is kind of like that, I think.
No, yeah, they're like, we'll catch up soon. But some she's cold to.
Yeah, and some she's meeting for the first time. Some she's cold to. So there's more of a relationship with the gods, I would say, than in the first game.
Yeah, because you also have, you know how Zagreus interacted with a lot of these people initially, so that kind of adds an extra layer of depth to that, I think.
And then remind me, in the first game, once you finish, once you do a complete run, there is kind of a tail after that, right?
Like, oh,
you
yeah.
don't just loop back to the beginning, right?
Yeah,
there's a lot more narrative.
Yeah, all about building relationships with all the characters, and with Persephone as well. I think there's a lot more after your first run.
Okay.
So yeah, it's keep going to for narrative reasons, which is I think what helped Hades become the like the new standard of roguelike.
Right.
'Cause when you won, there was still more. For me, that was like the narrative throughout the whole game and when you finished it was what like really hooked me and
me too
forced me to finish it, because I've never really been a roguelike person. I've started a lot of them, I haven't finished many. And Hades, the narrative grabbed me, and it keeps going for a fair bit after after you've beaten Hades the first time.
I think
he still kind of hates you when you beat him the first time in that first game, but it gets to a point eventually, like spoilers, I guess, where he doesn't call you boy anymore. He's like, he talks to you as Zagreus, because a lot of your job is like mending that relationship between Hades and Persephone, like, and that leads into this game like quite directly.
That seems like a really interesting distinction between these two games, just because the first one's story is so focused on interpersonal elements. Like, it's not, you don't really do anything. It's just about the relationships and how they change throughout the story. But in this one, there is a big cataclysmic thing happening. And so when you get to the end, you imagine that like, you're going to rescue your family and save the day. But then, like, what is that tail that keeps the roguelike going gonna be once it's all done?
I think it will be similar to the first game in a way, like rebuilding, but in this sense it would be rebuilding the life that they had like in the underworld and so on. And if it's going to be like the original, maybe you get to a point where like Zagreus and Hades and so on are in that hub world, and you interact with them and you build relationships with them in a similar way that you did with Persephone and so on. So maybe that leads to a true ending. Like, you beat the big bad, but then you're back where you started, and then there's something else to go after. But they'd have to do a better job at justifying.
It's almost like two totally different stories.
Yeah.
It's worth remembering that the big boss seems to be Kronos, who is the Titan of Time. So we could have shenanigans.
Yeah, he could turn back. You could beat him and it'll be like, no, you don't. Back to the beginning.
You don't just pick that Titan on a whim.
No, I think time is going to play a role in this, because we've already seen a couple of flashbacks. I think they could do more of that.
Yeah, and you know, flashbacks could lead to more, you know, family stories and stuff coming out that maybe Melanoe doesn't know about or realize, you know. You beat Kronos, he shows that you're, I don't know, your parents didn't want you, you were an accident. Like,
Yeah, because Zagreus was stillborn until Nyx came in. Like, that was like a really interesting part. And what are the other Titans doing? Like, that's also another question.
Mm. Cool. Anything else to touch on before we wrap up?
Oh, God, no, we've done a lot. I'm largely really
hot,
positive,
aren't
on
they?
It,
they're think. Really hot.
They are. Like, just, there isn't a single pass. Just smash.
All smashes.
Yeah, undoubtedly.
That's it for this video. Thank you so much for watching. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and hit that bell, and visit us at thegamer.com. That's thegamer, no space.